Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1. Boy, those teens. Thank you for those teens that woke up early and got breakfast going for us each of these days. That's a pretty big thing when a teenager gets out of bed. Now, teens are not like the rest of us. They can drink 2 liters of Mountain Dew and still go to bed and sleep fine. But when they crash, they really crash. And us older folks, I think we're a little dishonest sometimes because we get up sometimes because we have no choice. You know, we just wake up. You're like, that's it. There's no point sitting here. I might as well get up. Now they are like dead. And we act like it's like we've mastered things, like a character thing. We're like, you kids have problems. Why don't you have the character that I have to get up? You know, we're just like, I wish I could sleep a little longer, but this is it. I'm up. You know, and it just gets. So teens, thank you. You actually had to say no to that, your body screaming, oh, please, just a few more minutes. No, I have somewhere to be. I appreciate you guys. I have a couple confessions this morning. I grew up on drugs, and it was my parents' fault. They drug me to Sunday morning services. They drug me to Sunday evening services. And they drug me to midweek services. And we never put it to a vote, Brother Rogers. There was never all in favor of going to church today. You know, the brown piano or the black piano. No votes. We were going to church. And young people, I grew up, and this is my second confession, a little bit afraid of heaven. And here's why. Because it seemed to me that it was going to be an eternity of church. You know, as a kid, church is good. There's some good stories, some heartwarming Bible truths, but you love that final amen to go collect frogs, to play carpet ball. I don't think there's a good chance there may not be swim times in heaven. And, you know, I can just see Brother Friesen getting up and saying, all right, thank you for that message. Let's stand, let's stretch out our legs, and wait a minute. This is heaven. We have glorified bodies. We don't need to stretch out our legs and take a quick break. Let's stay right there and flow into the next preaching time. No, none of this, and don't forget curfew tonight. Make sure you're getting your rest. No, it'd be like, we can just stay at this day and night. Brother McQuiggan, come on up here and let's sing through the entire hymnal. Every verse. We have nothing but time. 10,000 years will just be started with church. 10,000 years we will have just begun with church. And as a kid, you're like, oh. Now, that's certainly better than eternal torment. But I don't know. This may be my last chance to have fun. And as a kid, you're a little concerned. I don't want my cloud and my harp forever and ever and ever and ever. But, you know, it's when I came to grips with this one thing, it's kind of the same thing as this camp. When my family goes home, it won't be the facilities that we remember. It will be you guys. And even my son came to me and he's like, Dad, streets of gold. I mean, that's great and everything, but just forever and ever, it just seems like it might get old. And I said, it would. It 100% would. But heaven isn't about what's there. Heaven is about who is there. And the more I think about the Lord Jesus, and he is the most interesting being in all the universe, and I'm not afraid that I don't have to go sleep and take a break from him. I'm not afraid that I don't have to go stretch my legs and go out there and take a break from him. I want to be with him forever and ever. Wherever he is, I want to be right there. And so when you think of it that way, heaven, I'm not afraid anymore. I can't wait to, even as I was praying there, I was like, Lord, I need your help. And I said, you know my heart. I really do want to be a help to these people. And there's that other part of my heart that I'm ashamed of. I want them to say, wow, what a preacher. Lord, forgive me. And someday I'll be delivered from that heart, and I can't wait, where I can just live completely for His honor and His glory. Here in Joshua chapter 1, you probably know this. It's the one place in all the scripture where the word success is found. So I want to give you a little bit of God's formula for success. Let me read verses 1 through 9 for you. Basically, you have the essence of it right there, though. It's all about Him. It's not what is in heaven, it's who's in heaven. And in this life, it's the same thing. Keeping your eyes firmly fixed on Him when your little girl is going through leukemia. When the pain enters your life. It's about the who. That's the essence of things. But I want to develop that for a little bit. So let's read verses 1 through 9. Now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the land of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given you. As I said unto Moses, from the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before you all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then shalt thou make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The one time in the Bible that word is found. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest. I want to give you four things today. One, I want to show us how we need to be directed by His purposes. Two, I want to show you how we need to be delighted in His presence. Three, I want to show you how we need to be dependent on His power. And four, I want to show you how we need to be dedicated to God's program. There, you have my points. You know how it ends if I die before it's over. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the week so far. You've been so good, and I can't believe we're at the last day already. Thank you for the preaching, Lord. I've just been inspired by Brother Rogers, Lord, his deep reverence, his apparent reverence for your word, Lord. It's been such a help to me and my family. Thank you for this week, Lord, and these good folks that are here and their spirit. Lord, they're here and they're hungry, and that makes a big difference. That makes a big difference. I thank you for that, Lord, and I pray that you bless as we close out this week. I ask these things in Christ's name, amen. We need to be dedicated. First of all, I'm sorry, directed by God's purposes. Now, he's telling Moses that he's going to go through, I'm sorry, he's telling Joshua that he needs to go through Jordan. Now, I'm sure Joshua's thinking, oh, wait, we're going to go over Jordan. Can I get some details? But a lot of times we want all the details, right? Just like an Apostle Paul that gets to preach in Caesar's household. If he would have known how that was going to take place, all the details that would lead up to that, he might not have been as interested. But God says, I want you to do this. Just set to it. Get going. Now, Moses was gone. And Moses was a great, great, great leader. And I think sometimes probably the people are like, what's the point? We have to go forward and our great leader is gone. It's interesting to me, now get this, how our changeless God is such a God of change. Our changeless God is such a God of change. Now my kids are young, and I was praying the other day, And it occurred to me that I don't have three kids to pray for. I have six. The husbands of my little girls are probably walking around right now. I want to pray for those little kids. The wife of my son, who's not that little anymore, is probably on this planet. I got six little people that I need to be praying for. And they love being with dad and mom. But guess what? That's going to come to an end. Our changeless God is such a God of change. And I love the here and now, but God has a way of stirring the nest and kicking the young eaglets out so they learn to fly and go do something else. Our changeless God is such a God of change. The winter comes. How beautiful. And then the spring and the runoff as the snows melt. And then the summertime. And then the fall with the beautiful colors. By the way, young people, you will love those more and more. Did you realize Earth, E-A-R-T-H, the middle three letters of Earth is art, A-R-T. And I was thinking, God, you're such an artist. You're such an artist. I love to drive along, and you guys are on the road a lot. You look up at the clouds, and you think, Lord, you're marvelous. The sky is so beautiful. Fall comes, the colors, and our changeless God is such a God of change. Brother Friesen isn't going to be here forever. Brother McQuiggan isn't going to be here forever. And their goal right now, because they're going to come and go, but their goal is to tie you to a changeless God. And don't make God be afraid to give you great people, because you can't move on beyond those great people. All right? God's going to take your Moseses away. All right? But he's going to always give you a Joshua. And he's the common denominator, and that's the important thing. We need to be directed by God's purposes. So there, he says, all right, here's what we're going to do. Get up. Almost like the same thing like with Elijah, where it's like, it's all over. Get up. Get up. I'm not done. And I'm bigger than Jezebel. Get up. Let's go. I still have plans. Oh, it's over. Let me just die underneath this bush. What are you talking about? I'm alive and well. Always have been. Always will be. Tie yourself to me. Get up. I've got plans. And so probably Moses is gone. Moses is gone. But I'm not. Get up. Let's go. But I have questions. How are we going to get past Jordan? What are we? We're going to just walk over there and announce that the land is ours now? There's a lot of people that are going to have a problem with that. And our spies, a while ago, they saw some pretty big people that are going to have a problem with that. Oh, are they bigger than you? Can you just keep your eyes on me? Because I'm a lot bigger than they are. Get up. Let's go. Now a lot of times you see characters in the Bible. Probably part of what got Elijah in trouble when he was there is he starts, man, look at this. We're killing the evil prophets. We're doing this. And then we're going to, and then we're going to, and then we're going to, and then we're going to. It's so easy when you're working out God's plans to suddenly take over. And you're executing your own plans. Our own plans always lead to discouragement. That's why day by day, you know, God, remember later on, you helped us defeat Jericho. We got it from now on. We're good at this. We're going to go take out Ai. And they don't go to God at all, do they? Day by day, we need to wrap ourselves in his plans. Now, when Alec was little, you know how little kids, they don't have plans. You know, Alec would be a little boy, you know, walking around, you know, and say, come here, sit on my lap, Alec. What are your plans for today? And, you know, little kids, plans? I thought I might play with that toy. And then I really haven't thought of anything beyond that at all. We'll just see what strikes my fancy when I get done with that toy. That's the extent of planning for a little kid. But he mows grass now. I'm mowing his grass until his foot heals. But he's got some lawns that he's mowing, and he's making some money. He's got a bicycle. Someday he'll have a vehicle. The more he ages, the more wherewithal he will have to make his own plans. There's no more climbing up in dad's lap and say, hey, let's look at the day together. Yes, dad, let's plan it together. I'm trying to train him to be able to get to the point where he makes his own plans, and he does this or that. But can I just tell you, it's the opposite with us and God. God isn't getting us to the point where we can plan on our own without him. For the rest of your life, day by day, don't ever get big enough where you don't feel like you need to crawl up in his lap and say, Abba, Father, help me make some plans for today. Because my plans always end up in discouragement. I want your plans. Now, you ever look up motivational speakers to see what they have to say? I looked up a motivational speaker, and he was saying, I ran a 5K. And at the end of the 5K, there was a table there with bagels on it. And it was for the runners. And I wanted a bagel. And my friend, he wanted a bagel, but the line was so long. And he said, you know, there are two types of people on this planet. There are those that focus on what they want, and there are those who focus on what is standing in the way of what they want. I refuse to be a person that focuses on what stands in my way. I'm going to be a person who focuses on what I want. So he said he went up to the line and reached through the people that were there, grabbed two bagels. And he goes, now sure, I had to grab whatever bagels I could reach. And so I sacrificed choice for the immediacy of getting a couple bagels. But he goes, that's my lesson for you today. Be the type of person that focuses on what you want, not on what's standing in the way of what you want. And I'm sure he makes big bucks going around telling people that. But do you see some problems with that? I mean, there's Eve, right? The devil says, you see the tree? Does it look good for fruit? It sure does. What type of person are you going to be, Eve? Are you going to be the type of person who focuses on what you want or what's standing in the way of what you want? Well, that's a great question. I mean, what you're saying makes sense, and I just don't know. And what is standing in the way of what I want? I mean, God said not to, but maybe he is holding back something from me that he's afraid that I could enjoy, and maybe he's not as good as I assumed he was. And gets her in trouble, huh? Gets her in trouble. For us, the safest thing for us is not the question. Are you going to be the type of person who focuses on what you want or what's in the way of what you want? That's the wrong question. What we need to do is day by day figure out what he wants. It's not a matter of what I want or what's standing in the way of what I want. Those are both dangerous. Lord, what do you want? And then it actually makes a little bit of sense. At that point, don't focus on what's standing in the way of what he wants. Just focus on what he wants, and then wait. Get excited, because, Lord, I'm not sure how we're going to get across the Jordan. But you want us across the Jordan. I can't wait to see how you do it. And God, I'm not sure when we get into the land, those giants are bigger than us. But you want us to have the land. So I'm not going to focus on what's standing in the way of what you want. I'm just going to focus on what you want. And I can't wait for the miracles that you're going to provide to give us that land. We need to be caught up, directed by God's purposes. Now, I had a Canadian student in my music class at Fairhaven one time. And she said, I brought maple cookies from Canada. Can I pass them out before we start? And I'm like, oh, maple cookies from Canada. And so she passed them out, and I was eating it. I'm like, oh, this is heavenly. This is just marvelous. And so we're eating, and I said, how did you get these across the border? I would imagine the border agents would want to confiscate these. And she's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, you said these are maple cookies from Canada. She's like, oh, they are. I'm like, well, how did you get them across? I didn't bring them across. I bought them here. At the dollar store. And I said, you told me they were maple cookies from Canada. She goes, yeah, it says here on the package that they were packaged in Canada. But because I thought, isn't it amazing how powerful your mind is? Those, like those coffee tests where they'll say, one's from Tim Hortons, one's from Starbucks, one's from, and you have to drink them all and guess which one. And you drink and you go, this one here has to be Starbucks or whatever. And they said, we were just teasing. They're all from local gas stations. But because you thought one of them was Starbucks, you said, this is definitely the Starbucks. This is marvelous right here. I'm telling you, attitude determines altitude. And it's important for us every day to get caught up in what God wants. Because what he's doing is exciting. It's very exciting. And then when you're excited about what he's excited about, go. Go. All right, number two, let's get delighted in God's presence. Verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee or forsake thee. We make God feel pretty bad when he says, do this thing. I won't let you down. And you go, I don't think it can be done. No. You're missing something. Do this thing. I won't let you down. Yeah, I don't think it can be done. You start to anger God. Remember how upset God was when they said, we can't take this land. And God said, I just wiped out the mightiest army on the planet, Egypt. And you watched me do it. What do you mean I can't help you with this land? We anger God when God says, do this thing, I won't let you down. Won't somebody treat me like I'm a big God? Won't somebody please treat me like I'm a big God? I won't let you. Does God give us that promise in the New Testament? Remember there in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. Cassie was talking about going off to Fairhaven, and she said, boy, I appreciated my parents so much more when I was away from them. And boy, that happens a lot when you're away from your parents. You focus on what you can get from them. And maybe you come back for the break and they're like, hey, what can we give you for Christmas? And it's like, boy, but when I was here, it was what I could get from you. It was the presence that I could get from you. And when I was away from you, I realized the true treasure was just being in your presence. Now, my kids pointed this out to me. We carry a King James 1611 Bible. 1611, and my kids were like, Dad, look at this. In Psalms 1611, all right, the address in Psalms 1611, I thought this was fun. Thou wilt show me the path of life. Where, God? Where's the path of life? It's in my 1611 King James, if you speak the English. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. Are you sad? Do you find you're sad sometimes? You need to climb into his presence. Because my Bible says that's where joy can be found. We heard about it this morning in 1 John. In his presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. You girls probably do some babysitting, huh? And when you're babysitting, if you're sitting there and you haven't seen the kids for a while and everything's quiet, you probably pat yourself on the back and say, I am an awesome babysitter. No, you don't, do you? A cold sweat comes over you. And you think, if I don't know where they are, there's a good chance they're getting in trouble. When they're away from you, they're probably up to no good. And things are too quiet. And that's how we are. When we get away from him, we're probably up to no good. When Peter followed Jesus afar off, he got himself in big trouble that night. We need to stay close to the Savior. It's so important. We need to be delighted in his presence. Next, we need to be dependent on God's power. Verses 6 through 9. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. I'm going to give you this land. Earlier he said, I will not fail you. Go. Now that's actually difficult to actually master, young men. The blessed life of dependence. God's part and my part. Understanding that. And now, we were talking earlier. God says, ask the Lord for your daily provision, right? Give us this day our daily bread. But then does the Bible indicate I should sit and wait for it? The Bible also indicates that if a man should not work, neither should he eat. And you say, so which is it? Is God going to take care of me, or do I have to go and take care of myself? Why does God tell me to ask him for my daily bread and then tell me to go work so that I can eat? Well, because there's God's part and there's my part. I'm going to go and do the responsibilities, but I'm going to do it in His strength. Every breath I take is God taking care of me. Every beat of my heart is God taking care of me. The wherewithal I have in my mind to do the job I'm about to do, to make some money, that's God. And He can bless those things. And living that life of dependence is so important. Young man, you're going to want to say, I have strength. And these older guys, they don't have the strength I have. When I get older, I'll depend on God. But for now, I don't need to. Oh, the sooner you realize that your strength is so lacking. The prodigal son thought that he had life altogether and went off to live that life of independence. And he came to the end of himself so fast and said, you know, I thought my dad restricted me. But I learned what love was. It wasn't him standing in the way of what was good for me. It was him loving me because he valued me. When the money ran out, so did the friends. And the Bible says, no man gave unto him. And he said, this life of independence is no good. Young man, you're full of strength. But learn that blessed balance of dependence on the Lord God. It is so important. So then the last thing, we need to be dedicated to God's program. Dedicated to God's program. Now he tells us that this book needs to be our foundation. And so he lays that out in verse 8. There it says, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. Okay? You need to say the same things God does. So I see confession in this verse. I see meditation in this verse. I see dedication in this verse. And I see completion in this verse. The first thing is confession. God's words cannot depart from your mouth. Now, it's important that it's God's words because a lot of us, you know, we go to church and a picture pops in our mind. I basically got the gist of what God wants. Don't leave with the gist of what God wants. Get the words in your mind. God's thoughts are above our thoughts. So don't walk out the door with His thoughts. His thoughts are above your thoughts. Walk out the door with His words. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth. We do the same thing with our children, right? I might say, Alec, my toolbox in the garage. Toolbox, got it. No, come back here. I'm not done. A picture of a toolbox popped in his head. He's like, toolbox, yep. I'm like, come back here. Now there's two hammers in there. There's a claw hammer and a ball peen. I want the hammer. Got it. Come back here. Picture of a hammer popped in his head. I'm like, I want the one with the claw because I'm going to be pulling some nails out of here. Claw, you know. And I'm like, hold on. You say back to me what I just told you because I have a picture in my head and I don't want you walking out with a picture in your head. I want you to have words to carry with you out there so that we're not wasting our time. So when you go to church, don't think, yeah, I got the gist of what God wants. Uh-uh. No. We need His words. This book of the law. So when God gives you something, it's not a bad idea to rehearse it back to Him. Write some things down. I have a stack of index cards for when I spend time with God. And I write some things down to carry with me through that day, because I know that I don't know what the day carries, but He does. And I want to carry His words with me through the day. Not just some warm, fuzzy feelings of having spent some time in God's Word. I need His words. So confession. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate. All right? Day and night. The Hebrew kind of indicates by day and by night. It's not a bad idea to make yourself get in God's Word a little bit in the morning. Make yourself get in God's Word at least a little bit at night. By day and by night, you're chewing on those things. Okay? I think prayer and Bible reading is like eating and breathing. We don't eat constantly, do we? We eat and then we go on the strength of that food for a little while. And then we eat again after a bit. But breathing, we do that constantly. Even as we sleep. And I think reading God's Word and praying is similar. Reading God's Word, you sit down and you read God's Word and you get something to digest for a while. You get something to give you some strength for a while. But then the Bible says pray without ceasing. It should be as natural for the believer as breathing is. And we're meditating on those things that God gave us. We're thinking them through. We're constantly saying, I pictured this in my mind, but no. What did God say? I pictured myself going here. Kind of like when my wife says, hey, hon, can you run to the store and pick up a few things? I need this, and this. So I picture myself in those spots in the store. But I don't trust that. I'm like, hey, hon, can you text me a list? Because when I have the words, I won't miss something. All right? I can picture the places in the store I need to be. I'll come home without one of those things. All right? And the wives say we do it on purpose so that they'll quit sending us to the store. Which is, no. Okay. So we have confession and meditation. Then we have dedication. That thou mayest observe to do. That thou mayest observe to do. You need to do the things that God shows you. By the way, you learn so much from doing. I teach a music theory class. And it's fun. I love it year by year because I'll say, guess what, class? We're going to do this. And I'll describe it. And they're like, we have no idea what you just said. And I'm like, okay, hold on. And so I'll put it up on the chalkboard. And I'm like, there. So I showed you, I told you, and now I showed you. And they're like, no, we don't know what you just said. I said, get out your textbooks. Let's work through some problems together. And when you work through some problems together, they're like, ah. All right? The preacher's going to show you. He's going to say, hey, this is part of the Christian life. Okay, I don't get it. And then he's like, watch this person and watch this. Watch this person. They'll show you how this is done. I still don't get it. But it's amazing how certain things click when you start to observe to do all that he's commanded you. And the last thing is dedication. Completion. Completion. Observe to do according to all that I have commanded you. Go. Just keep at it until you die. Keep going. Treasure this book. There was a commentator on the radio, and he said, man, I love that one book. I read through it 5 times. And the other person says, what's the matter with you? You couldn't get it the first time? And the man said something interesting. He said, I guess I was a different man every time I read it. And I said, that is the word of God. You take a trip through God's Word, it changes you. And you know what that new guy needs? God's Word. And you take a second trip through, and it changes you even more. And guess what he needs? God's Word. And you take another trip through God's Word, and it changes you. And guess what that guy needs? God's Word. Oh, it's marvelous. So, young person, I remember sitting in these meetings a little afraid of heaven. Church. Forever. And ever. You know, what is it, you know, Grandma Smith? Oh, you have another testimony? Please. We've got time. But you know what? I'm not afraid of heaven at all. And for you guys, is this? Don't think of this life as this is my last chance to have fun. There's no swim times in heaven. If I'm going to have fun, I got to do it now. Oh no. Right now, get close to Jesus. In this life, he brings meaning and fulfillment to this life and the one to come and gets you excited about eternity. Let's pray.